go ahead and call our CBAG Homeless Committee meeting of June 16th, 2021 to order. This meeting is being held by video telephone conference per the governor's executive orders and the Brown Act. This agenda has been posted online on CBAG's website, and there's a link for the public to participate there. As a reminder for the public, you can press *9 or raise your hand on the Zoom feature in order to give public comment at the beginning or the end of the meeting. And if you're unable to connect, you can also dial by phone. So our first item is a roll call, please.
City of Blythe.
Present.
City of Cathedral City.
Present.
City of Coachella, City of Desert Hot Springs.
Here.
City of Indian Wells.
Present.
City of Indio.
Present.
City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs.
Here.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
Riverside County.
Here.
Desert Healthcare District.
Here.
And Agua Caliente. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Erica. The next item is public comment on agenda items. This time and place for members of the public to address the homeless committee on agenda items at the at the discretion of the chair. I'm choosing to do public comment on all agenda items right now. So please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Erica, do we have any written public comment that was submitted prior to the meeting?
No, Chair, and we do not see any hands raised.
As a reminder, please press *9 if you're on the phone or raise your hand on the Zoom feature to give public comment, but seeing none, we will move to committee and CBAG staff announcements. Do any committee members have announcements at this time? Councilmember Music?
Sorry, I had to find my button. I just wanted to thank Tom Kirk and Steve Egg because they did an excellent presentation at our last council meeting, and council was thoroughly impressed. I even had residents that were zooming in, letting me know what a great presentation. So thank you.
Thank you. Other council member announcements?
Chair, I will go ahead. I have my hand raised. And I'll probably echo these comments every meeting. I just want to thank the CVAC staff, staff at Martha's Village and Kitchen, staff at CVA Rescue Mission. I'm constantly calling and texting, seeing folks out there that need assistance. And I just believe that if we keep coming in contact with these individuals who are chronically homeless, hopefully they'll take our help. And we've had some success here in India recently with a tough individual, but looks like he's gonna be receiving some help. But I just wanted to thank the staff, especially right now with the triple digits coming in. It's so hot out there and it's very dangerous to be out there in this heat. So but with the folks out there working and still on these collaborative efforts of getting folks help, it's just well appreciated. So I just wanted to thank everyone.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Furman. Any other member comments? Erica, are there any staff comments?
Yes, Chair, thank you. I wanted to draw your attention to the end of the month scheduling and what will be a very lively Zoom meeting for all of you. Our General Assembly will be held on Monday, June 28th at 6:00. We are holding that by Zoom. For those of you who attended last year, it was interactive and we got quite a bit of positive feedback afterwards, and we're planning another very enjoyable evening. So you're all voting members of the General Assembly. And so we will look forward to having you there.
Thank you, Erica. We look forward to it. So the next item is the consent calendar. There's one item, 5A, to approve the May 19th, 2021 Homeless Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
A motion, Indio.
Is there a second? Thank you. I heard a motion and I heard a motion from Indio and a second from La Quinta is the one I heard. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we can just do a consensus vote. We don't need a roll call vote. So all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, any abstentions?
I'll abstain. Palm Desert abstains.
Thank you. Palm Desert abstains. Otherwise, the motion passes. The next item is item 6A, which is a Housing First, CV Housing First update on 2021 progress. Can we have a staff report, please? Hi, Tom. Welcome.
Chair, before Tom jumps in, I want to just take a quick minute on behalf of all of his colleagues and to also the rest of the CV Housing First team who's on the call. As you've heard from our executive director, we are very determined to provide you with a lot of data throughout this year on and being very transparent about our successes and not so successful stories along the way. We're in the middle of the second quarter, so the formal second quarter report is will be finalized here at the end of the month and will be presented to you in the fall. But in the interim, we wanted to provide you some updates on what we've been doing with our team. And from that, I will turn it over to Tom Cox.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and committee members. CV200 again is focused on the clients on our list. It's a by name list of homeless individuals that are identified and prioritized by local law enforcement and homeless service providers as high utilizers of services and resources. A housing first approach is taken regardless of their barriers, which includes poor health, medical conditions, mental illness, substance misuse, service resistant, and those that are no or low income or have no or low income benefits. Working with the CV200 on the street with rapid resolution, that's our program for 30 days to permanent housing and crisis stabilization housing. We provide hours and hours of weekly intensive case management that provides personalized care plans for our clients on the CV200 for their well-being, life skills, self-sufficiency, and of course, housing. We have a few stories we would like to share with you, so we're gonna play a video.
I want to be home. Sleeping
in a bush that I covered in the inside with cardboard so the rats wouldn't get to my dog and me. So that's where I was just before I moved into the unit with them.
And how did your life change while receiving assistance in the CSH unit?
Wow, where do I start with that? In so many ways, I was able to relax a little bit, not feel so scared that something was going to get taken or somebody was going to rob me, or, you know, because that's the constant fear of somebody taking your stuff. I've lost my stuff so many times and had to replace it so many times, and it was just nice to be able to have a place that I felt safe, that had a door that locked, that I could sleep at night and not have to keep one eye open, worry about somebody coming in and snatching the shoes off my feet, you know. So yeah, it was, you know, I was able to relax and get some other stuff done that I needed to get done. So it was awesome.
And where are you now?
Well, right now I'm in my own place, which is great. And I mean, I have Stephanie to thank for that, because she was the person that was most responsible for, you know, being, you know, my main cheerleader. And I'm forever grateful for that I have a place now. My doggie's happy. She loves it here. And I love it here. It's wonderful. It just feels good. It feels really good to just know that it's mine and I don't have to worry about leaving anytime soon, and I just it changes everything completely.
Up next is please meet Sharon. She's on the CV200. She's a 74-year-old homeless from the city of Indio, and we were collaborating with the city and the county for her voucher, and this week she moved into senior low-income housing.
is to be home.
I am the happy, happy person in my own little place in the world. I got my keys yesterday. I have everything I need thanks to these people.
To be home.
Well, I'm
up next is Wayne. He was also on the CV 200. He's 68. He was homeless from the city of Rancho Mirage. Again, we collaborated with the county to get his voucher, and also this week Wayne moved into his senior low-income apartment.
I'm living now. I'm on the on Earth. It was such, it meant something. Being taken care of, and feeling safe, and it allowed me time to look for a place where I would still feel safe after everything was said and done. And hey, I got this.
There you go.
The result.
There you go. Congratulations.
Next up, and finally meet Sandra. She was on the CV 200, 74-year-old, homeless from the city of Palm Desert. Again, we collaborated with Palm Desert's own city team with Alex and Donna. And Sandra moved into her own senior low-income apartment this week as well.
To be home.
I'm going into low-income housing that I can actually afford. I'm going into a stable environment, which I'm very much looking forward to. I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful for this day. And I couldn't have done it without a lot of help. I did not do this alone. It's a gift, and I'm truly thankful.
Show us your key.
Oh.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
You're
to be home.
Chair and Vice Chair and Committee, I just want to personally thank you for the funding and the support. As I looked at those testimonies, I heard words like safety, security, stability. As Nicholas said, sleep. I heard thankfulness and gratefulness. And as Wayne said, he's living life now. So just thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of what we're doing. Thank you. That concludes my staff report.
Thank you, Tom, for the beautiful video. It's always good to see the people that we're helping and who are going through these programs and hearing from them firsthand is, I think, really helpful and meaningful for this committee. So well done and thank you. I know the staff report says that a formal update about the program will be given in the fall. Can you explain a little bit more about that for the committee?
Of course. So quarter one, we provided metrics or results for those moved into permanent housing, those that moved back to the street. So we'll have the numbers. And I know Tom Kirk has a really cool chart that he likes to share with you all. So we have been in the 6-month mark here. We've been very successful. Again, moving people to permanent housing, that's what we're charting. We're, you know, things like outreach hours or contacts, those are not necessarily that important, but with CV200, our laser focus is the chronically homeless, and we're gonna report to you our successes of moving into permanent housing, and we'll also, you know, share with you some of the failures that those numbers, and we'll have a complete report in the fall.
Thank you. Questions for Tom? I saw Mark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom, could you
get me or get this committee a copy of that video? I'd like to share it with my council, maybe at a study session, to let them know, you know, what the good works that you're doing, what the good work that this committee's doing. I mean, if that video doesn't touch hearts, I don't know what will, but if you could do that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. You know, I edited that video and I've seen it a bunch of times, but I still get a little teary-eyed. I thought I was a tough guy, but you bet.
Great idea. Thank you, council member. Other questions or comments from members? And I see council member Preckwinkle from Agua Caliente Band of Puyat Indians has joined us, so welcome. Other questions or comments for Tom on this item? I don't see any, Tom. And this is just a discussion. You don't need any action, right?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I do have a question. Now, when they're in there, Tom, do they have like Social Security or income? Are they working? Is that another step? Or is the facilities paid for by other means?
So, you know, the housing voucher is our golden ticket. So a lot of individuals, sometimes they don't even have an ID. So we get their ID, we get them their medical insurance, we get them the doctors. Some need disability verification. Others just need, you know, to get their life cleaned up and get a job and a fresh start. You know, we've shared some numbers about how we increase our income. Our team works very, very diligently on increasing their income and benefit. We use a lot of the county programs through workforce development. But that's the key. And, you know, the voucher, sometimes you pay 30% of your benefit. So a lot of the seniors that you saw today, their benefit might only be $1,000 a month, but because of that voucher, they only pay 30% of their benefit or income. So it's just our collaboration with the county has been amazing with APS and the Housing Authority. And, you know, the COC, the continuum of care. So that's all done in a collaborative effort. And so the vouchers are very important. That's what makes this possible.
Okay, so they're secure. Once they get in, they have their 30% of what they pay. So they're good.
Well, we do a 30, 60, 90, a 6 month and a year follow-up with everybody to make sure they remain in housing. We're busy sometimes keeping people in their permanent housing because they don't know what that's like. So even yesterday, Ivan, one of our case managers, had someone that said, I don't have enough money to live. And, you know, they were complaining. And so he talked them down and he signed them up for some food stamps or EBT and also got them, you know, a food box to be delivered a month. So, you know, it's just hours and hours of coming alongside. You know, I guess the rewarding thing is we're providing dignity and a roof over someone's head, but it is a lot of work.
Sure is. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. I see Vice Chair Pena.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tom, what's the percentage of people that we have put into housing after 6 months that remain in housing?
Right now, we have 100%.
Good.
So, you know, when the fall report comes around for quarter two, that will probably, that number will be the same. But now from crisis stabilization units, we usually have roughly around, you know, 25. And I think where we're going right now is so far this year, six haven't made it. You know, we're working hard, but, you know, as Tom Kirk says, you know, a lot of individuals, it's up to them to finish the work and to do the part. We do have some that, you know, we're sending to rehab and we've said, hey, after you get back from rehab, let's reboot this. Let's start again. Let's start your life 2.0 and try again. So about six failures so far this year, that's what we're calling them. And, you know, if we don't put someone into permanent housing and they exit our program, you know, we're looking that as a failure. So, you know, we learn from our failures, don't we? Because they help us succeed and we learn how to do things better.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? I don't see any. Thank you, Tom, for the presentation. We appreciate it, and we'll look forward to the Q2 data that you'll share with us.
And thank you. It was good seeing you all.
Thank you for your work and for the entire staff's work. It shows in those videos how important it is. So it's just an information item. So the next item is item 6B, CV, Housing First, Use of the Palm Springs Boxing Club. There's a recommendation to authorize the executive director to execute a no-cost lease extension with the City of Palm Springs for the Palm Springs Boxing Club for use by the CV Housing First program. Can we have a staff report, please?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And Tom, I agree, I get tears when I see that too. That was amazing, amazing video. So great work. And Madam Chair, you could probably give this staff report just as good as I could, but you've all seen the staff report. Basically, the City of Palm Springs is still in discussions on the transfer of the use of the boxing club across from the airport, as you see on the photo here, to possibly using or the Well in the Desert, moving their location from the middle of town. Additionally, though, as the staff report mentions, really emphasizing the partnership with Martha's Village and Kitchen on the wraparound services and hopefully placement into permanent services, as well as in conjunction with the CV Housing First for those who qualify on the CV 200 list. As of the last council meeting, there were still a number of budget questions as well as reporting and what cost would be required for improvements on that site. So city staff is continuing to look at that. We have been assured, and again, thank the City of Palm Springs for the partnership, but in my discussions with their city manager, Justin, we will be given ample notice if we have to leave. But at this time, we do not have to vacate the building. So that's what the recommendation is for us to continue the lease, which expires on June 30th of this year. I will say too, and I mentioned this, I believe, at the last meeting, is that if we do have to vacate, that will not have any negative impact on the CV Housing First program, primarily because we will probably have our, not probably, we will have our mobile access center up and running. And so that will primarily be the method of outreach, which we already do out of the office anyway. Additionally, CVAG is more than comfortable that they'll be able to secure space to continue the operations seamlessly. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Greg? Or is there a motion?
So moved, Palm Desert.
Thank you.
Second, this is Carol.
Thank you. So there's a motion to approve staff's recommendation by Palm Desert and a second by Director Rogers, Desert Healthcare District. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, and thank you for your partnership. The City of Palm Springs is happy to provide this location to CV Housing First, no cost, and we'll continue to work in partnership and provide locations regardless of even what happens with this site. So thank you, everyone. The next item is item 6C, funding agreements for the CV Housing First program. There's a recommendation to authorize the executive director to negotiate and execute memorandums of understanding with member jurisdictions to secure multi-year funding commitments for the CV Housing First program. Can we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Chair and members of the committee. This item comes to you at the request that was made at the last meeting. You'll recall we presented you with some opportunities for no-cost MOUs with various partners. And the question came up about city funding and CVAG's longstanding practice of coming to you every year and asking for some money for the program. And this is a time-consuming process, as you can imagine, and to go around to all of our cities, and it also creates some uncertainty. So the item before you would authorize our executive director to look at multi-year agreements with cities, This would allow member jurisdictions to do some long-term budget planning and would also be kind of modeled after the existing MOUs we do have with two cities. The city of La Quinta and the city of Cathedral City actually have MOUs for their current funding. I would note that the city of Desert Hot Springs has already started this process by incorporating the Housing First program into their two-year budget cycle. And this would be something that we would go around this summer and work with your jurisdictions to incorporate. So with that, the staff report is before, the staff recommendation is before you, and I'm happy to address any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from members? Greg, do you have something to add?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd just like to add on something to Erica's point, and I haven't even told her this, but is what would another benefit from this is not only the time commitment from CVAG, but it's a time commitment also to your cities. But another benefit is by having these on file and on record really would help us in leveraging other funds as we go for grant opportunities, because it shows an actual contractual, I use that term loosely, of course, agreement between all of our jurisdictions. So it is a very powerful tool in leveraging those funds.
And to follow up on that, it also would mirror the MOU we do now have with the Desert Healthcare District, whose financial support has been invaluable over the years.
Thank you. Councilmember Music.
Well, it only took me 4.5 years, but Indian Wells in their budget has the $100,000. Yay.
Thank you, amazing work. I think you deserve an audible clap for that. Really incredible work, and we're so grateful to have Indian Wells' participation and support of our regional work. I mean, what an amazing collaboration we've all built through all of these members. So thank you for your advocacy there, council member. Other comments or questions from members? Or is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I'll move the recommendation by staff.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Palm Desert seconds.
Thank you. So there's a motion made by La Quinta and seconded by Palm Desert. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you to staff for bringing this forward. I think this is really important to save staff time, so you're not going around every year to every single member jurisdiction. And hopefully this will help us leverage other funds, like Greg said. So thank you for your foresight for bringing this item. The next item is informational 6D for the summer cooling centers with Greg Rodriguez.
Yeah, and what an appropriate day to have this discussion. I'm going to say this is one of the hardest issues. If you all know, I've been doing this for 3 years now. I think it's important to note that, you know, before 3 years ago, we didn't provide any summer overnight cooling centers or, you know, ideally a 24-hour operation. And primarily due to funding resources, luckily I've been able to secure those funding resources. And so again, this year through Emergency Solutions Grant. Unlike the previous 2 years, due to staffing capacity, limited resources, again, even though there are substantial resources, we are not able to operate in the cities of Cathedral City or Desert Hot Springs. With that being said, because of the point in time count and the vast majority in the West Valley of homeless residents reside in Palm Springs, we decided to focus on a cooling center there. Thankfully, the United Methodist Church of Palm Springs stood up again to offer their site, and we really appreciate their partnership. In the staff report, we had some delays, primarily with the operations with CVRM, and I list capacity issues, and I want to clarify that that's not necessarily the capacity issues with the rescue mission and their ability to operate, but it really had to do with funding streams and the available access immediately and the capacity for startup operations, primarily because the funding for this operation will be coming through our Emergency Solutions Grant round two funding from the county that's not technically approved by the board, but we are assured that that funding will come through. With that being said, I reached out to Jewish Family Services. They do not have the staff capacity to do so. And then also have been in dialogue with Linda and Martha's Village, who believe that they are going to be able to accommodate the operations, which is very exciting news. This has just really developed over the last 3 to 4 days. And I wanna thank Linda Barak for her timely response and her team as well. We don't have a definite final decision. She has to run that by her executive board, which I believe is happening today, but her and I are working to start logistics, which have already begun. I have introduced them to the staff and church director, and so those conversations are already started. So at this point, we'll be moving forward with that. So everybody keep your fingers crossed. I do want to add, though, too, is that, and God forbid if it doesn't happen, is compared to a year ago, the amount of resources that we have in the Coachella Valley and primarily even in the West Valley have improved remarkably. So we already set up in Palm Springs alone, there's 3 cooling centers. As most of you know, there's cooling centers throughout the valley for daytime use. Additionally, though, the success of Project Room Key has removed a lot of individuals from the street, especially the individuals that utilized the cooling centers in the past. What we have noticed is that the really chronic homeless, or the ones that Tom and his team deal with through CV200, don't take advantage of those services anyway. And it's unfortunate, but that tends to be the case. As well, Jewish Family Services has been stepping up their outreach and placement efforts, as well, again, as you know, the great work that Tom and his team is doing. So the reason I say that is because the services are there for people if they really want to take advantage of them, but that doesn't mean we won't try and continue the efforts that I'm undertaking to do this 24-hour operation. Last thing I will say is that, as we've noted, we're really trying to push the 24-hour operation because over the past 2 years, when we only operated at the nighttime, very, very, very difficult and low level of success in placement, primarily because of agencies not being open and more the transient nature. And so Linda and her team, as you know, probably have one of the best housing first models outside of CVAC, but I jest with that, but do an amazing job with their wraparound services, workforce development and placement. So we're confident that partnership will be advantageous. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from members?
Chair, I don't have any questions. I just want to add that in Indio, we have a few cooling centers, and I just want to put that out there just in case folks want to share with their communities. And Martha's Village and Kitchen will be open Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. CV Rescue Mission will be Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the Indio Senior Center, which will be seniors only, starting on the 21st, will be Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 4:30. And it's important that we also utilize the centers to mitigate the energy crisis that we might be facing here in the near future of folks using those air conditioners. And some folks can't afford them, so they need to go to places where they can stay cool and, you know, congregate with their people. So I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Madam Chair, and thank you, Councilmember Furman. Also, too, when we get into these extreme heat situations, when we have heat warnings like we do, some of those hours do extend. So I encourage you on the call, if you go to capriverside.org, that's the listing of the current times available for the cooling centers throughout the valley.
Thank you. Other questions or comments from members?
Yes. Greg, quickly, it's CAP?
Yeah, CAP.
Uh-huh.
And that's Community Action Partnership.
Thank you.
Riverside.org.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I believe you have 2 in Palm Desert, if I'm not mistaken. It might be 1, but I think there might be 2. So
thank you to Greg for really spearheading this effort, for the supervisor's office and working with the county. Your efforts are so important. We get this request all the time for 24-hour cooling centers. So I know that you've really worked to make it happen and secure the funding in the last few years. So we're really grateful for your leadership on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just have a question about transportation. So if, you know, people are coming to Palm Springs from surrounding West Valley cities. Is there a way, are you thinking through transportation so that people can get to and from, you know, where they want to go?
Yes, as in years past. And Madam Chair, we did not experience that, believe it or not, although that might have been because we had locations in the other cities. But as you know, homeless individuals, even to get out of the heat, really don't leave the city they're in. However, with that being said, the answer is yes. Martha's is having discussions on the transportation aspect of that.
That's great. Thank you. And thank you for leading the way for a 24-hour facility. We've really seen the problems not having 24 hours. And that's some of the conversation we're having about the Well in the Desert and the cooling center is, you know, are we setting these places up for success if they close down and people have nowhere to go? And that's what we experienced the last few years. So thank you to Greg.
Yeah, and if I could add one thing, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, is it you know, we really want to make sure too that we're not creating enabling environments. We've heard that a lot from you as city leaders, as well as the community, and that's the whole intent of this 24-hour operation, unlike the last 2 years, which tended to be, even though they were beneficial, tended to be more enabling, and so that's not the intent of this facility as well.
Thank you. Any final questions or comments from members or staff? Seeing none, thank you to Greg and everyone for your work on that. We appreciate it. So that's just an information item. So the next item is 7, information. You see the attendance record, the financial support for CB Housing First, and the member survey on CBAG meetings, and the meeting schedule for fiscal year 2021-2022 in your packet. So now I will go to ex officio updates. If there are any ex officio members on the call who would like to give an update at this time, you can press *9 on the phone or the raise hand feature on Zoom, and we will unmute you and hear your short update. Erica, are there any ex officio updates that you see?
I do not see any raised hands, Chair.
Give it a minute to make sure that we don't miss anyone. If you do have an update, I will go back and call on you as long as the meeting is still going on. So the next item is 8, public comment on non-agenda items. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the Homeless Committee on items of general interest within the purview of this committee. Please limit your comments to 2 minutes or less. Do we have any public comment at this time, Erica?
Yes, Chair, we received a written request and he's raised his hand from Tony, who has audio now.
Thank you, Tony. Welcome.
Hello, Madam Chair. Tony Mize with National CORE and the Hope Through Housing Foundation, reporting to you on the current status of the Cathedral Palms rehabilitation. When reconfigured, it'll have 224 units, 184 studios, and 42 bedrooms in the city of Cathedral City. And it will also include 52 total units in the first phase, 22 of which have already occupied permanent supportive housing units. The second phase is complete with 50 units with 15 moved in. And the third phase should be in September with a total of 52 with 19 permanent supportive housing units. And then the fourth phase, 40 with 12 permanent supportive for a total of 68 through the efforts of folks at City of Cathedral City, Councilman Carnival, who was mayor at the time, Riverside County, both housing authority with Heidi Marshall, Gary Harmon, Mike Walsh, and behavioral health, the director Matt Chang, Marcus Cannon, and Tom Peterson recently retired. And we have had just so many people that have worked on this, but I invite all of you to get in touch with us and we will take you on a tour of it when it's in progress, if you'd like to see that. We just got our demo permit from Cathedral City to start our new 3,600 square foot community center, which will house property management, Hope Through Housing, and behavioral health. And I'm gonna introduce now AJ Galka Gagne, who's our new director of resident services and permanent supportive housing. And she'll tell you with her 2 minutes how the efforts have gone on moving the permanent supportive housing residents into Cathedral Palms.
Thank you, Tony. Welcome, AJ.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity to share how the services are going. To be completely transparent, I've been doing this over 18 years across, you know, Southern California, and this workflow of lease-up, of collaboration, has gone so well. A group of fabulous, dedicated people working together, consisting of core property management, housing authority, behavioral health, Hope Through Housing, just really clear expectations, roles, and responsibilities, working together to create that safe space, working with pre-meetings before lease-up, during lease-up, post-lease-up, to ensure all communication and follow-up can occur, to, again, ensure that safe space for the client experience or the resident experience. We had stations for check-in to create social distancing and also just have a calmer environment. We offer food refreshments. We treated everyone's belongings for pests and bed bugs in a really client-centric, trauma-informed way. Every single person that was referred through behavioral health had a case manager sitting beside them during the lease-up, walking them through that process as they were communicated the steps of their lease and the services on site. It was a very beautiful, supported process. Each new resident, again, was accompanied by staff, so they never were left alone to feel stressed or worried. And then lastly, as they were walked to their units, they received a move-in kit, just a pure celebration of the journey that each of them went through, as each of those journeys were so unique to their own story. But it definitely couldn't have happened unless it had a collaborative team approach and constant communication and, again, trauma-informed care throughout everything during that lease-up process, prep, and continuing conversations. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Tony and AJ. We appreciate your work. And I have toured the location, and I highly recommend that to any members. It's great to see your work in action. Are there any other public comments, Erica?
We don't see any other hands, Chair.
Thank you. I don't see any other public comment either. So next we have announcements of upcoming meetings. So the next meeting of the Homeless Committee will be held on Wednesday, September 15th at 10 a.m. Either by Zoom webinar or in person. We're still deciding how to proceed with CVAG meetings. The next meeting of the Executive Committee will be held on Monday, June 28th with closed session at 4 p.m. and regular session at 4:30 by Zoom. And as Erica mentioned, the next meeting of the General Assembly will be held on Monday, June 28th at 6 p.m. by Zoom. Are there any final announcements from members before we adjourn? Seeing none, we will go ahead and adjourn at 10:43. Thank you, everyone, for all of your work today. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you for this meeting in September.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Stay cool.